Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
And happy weekend. Welcome to another edition of Focus on Community. Frank Rush along with you. And of course, if you miss any part of our show today or you go, what'd they say? You can always go back and listen to it on our podcast and you will find it on our webpage. Our special guest this week is Richard Payock, who is the CEO of United Way.
There you go.
And Richard, I did get your name right, right?
You did. You did a great job.
I practiced a lot beforehand. CEO of the United Way, this is not a job that you've actually been at for that long now, is it?
No, not really. Although I've been a volunteer for the organization for some 20 years in the area. I was fortunate enough to retire from a long career in engineering in the power and chemical industry, and this is a passion I wanted to pursue. So started as the director for the local United Way in February of 2016.
Okay, so you've only got a couple of years into it now. And so with that said, you and how is the United Way actually run? Is it run through a board of directors? Or just
exactly. As a 501c nonprofit, we are actually operated with a 30-member board of directors throughout membership from all of the counties that we serve. Is the intention, and that's who the members, a member of the United Way is anyone who's donated a dollar. And it's the members that select the board and the board that kind of directs the activities. One of those activities is making sure there's a executive director they've hired to help with the day-to-day operations.
And you get that job.
I do.
Yeah. So to kind of cut to the chase, what's the real goal of United Way in like a sentence or two? What do you really want to do?
So I can give you that goal in one sentence, but sometimes it takes an explanation. Yeah. We're working over the next 10 to 15 years to move 10,000 families out of financial struggles into stability.
And that's different from past goals. How?
So years and years, what folks know about United Way was, I think if you asked the average person on the street what United Way did, the answer you would get for many years was, they raise money.
Yeah.
And that's not a really good mission for a charitable organization.
So now, they were successful at that. In all fairness, they did manage to, when times were better for Terre Haute, and we had lots more of the business that has since left town. Let's face it, United Way raised a lot of money.
They did.
For a lot of groups.
United Way, both here and nationally, it became kind of that gold standard for charitable donations and raising money. Your point is exactly right. In the late 1990s, to even early in the last decade, our United Way locally was raising $2 million to $2.3 million per year.
And a lot of that was not only through individual donations, but also you had a lot of check writing from big corporations that had facilities here in town.
Correct. You had a remarkable number of people of companies that would make a corporate donation, but also many that would match their employees' donations,
right,
which was a corporate contribution. So we were probably in the range of, I'd say 70% of that total was raised by individuals and another 30% with corporate gifts.
And United Way of the Wabash Valley is Wabash Valley, not Terre Haute, not Vigo County, but you guys do encompass all the surrounding counties here in West Central Indiana.
Too. Correct. We serve Vigo County and the four that border it directly, Vermilion, Clay, Park, and Sullivan. And then in Illinois, we actually serve in Clark County also.
Okay. Now, like you said, United Way's kind of had that, the thought of, well, you guys raise money, and it's beat that drum, which left a bad taste in some people's mouth. Not all, but some. And so what are you looking to change, not only in what you do, but in the perception of how you do what you do?
Great way to look at it is that when I started even 4 or 5 years ago, we made the point that having a mission to raise money and people answering that question is, what do? You raise money. It's not a long-term sustainable mission. We've also noted from national data, other areas, that donors today, be it your millennial generation, still very generous, but they're looking for something different. Donors who gave the way I might have given in the 1980s and said, I trust you, United Way, you'll do good things for it, have slowly declined, I think, as the baby boomer generation starts to shrink and turns over to the next generations. Donors want to see the impact they're making. They want to see something more direct. An answer of we do good things isn't appealing. And we saw that through our own donor data as donations declined. And so our new approach is really to give a more direct feel for what the community needs and what impact they can make.
Now, see, for me, over the years, there was like 33 agencies. That was kind of the big. Right. That was kind of the big drumbeat. You know, right. United Way's 33 agencies in the Wabash Valley. And my thing always was, why do I need a middleman like you? I just pick the ones I like, and I go give them money.
Correct.
So, what do you do?
So here's the thing, and it's a really a great discussion that I've had with so many people about that. I'm glad you bring it up. Is I think you're exactly right that I often tell people if your heart is in one particular agency or what they do, you should go give to them. But there are benefits to giving through United Way. United Way often has matching grants. And a matching grant where if someone said, I like to give my $100 to Salvation Army, and you do that through United Way, Salvation Army will get your $100. Mm-hmm. United Way will get another $100 from a matching grant through either the Lilly Foundation, through our Indiana Association of United Ways, and we can apply that to other programs. So it's kind of doubling the impact oftentimes. But what I'd really tell you is over the years, what we heard more and more of with our 33 agencies, and it varies from year to year, and what we started to be challenged with when I started is we've been pouring $2 to $3 million into the community for 60 years, every year. We've had 20 to 30 agencies doing great programs, but I challenge you, and I challenged our board of directors when I started this, of name one social issue we're facing that's gotten significantly better. And the answer, although unfair to a lot of great agencies doing great work, but across the country and across other places, is we're not getting better.
I was just going to say that's not necessarily a problem that the United Way is facing all by its lonesome.
No,
because
not at all.
That's a question that everybody's asking, not only of our government, but of a lot of agencies as well.
Yeah. So. And so what it comes down to is the focus.
Yeah.
That if you can't name something we're really focused on, are we doing as good as we could do? What if we took those resources and all of those great agencies doing work and saying, let's work together and focus on one of our bigger issues. So the whole transition in United Way is to go away from being a mile wide and 6 inches deep and helping many great agencies to narrowing that focus and getting tremendously deeper on the issues that are the most important to our community members.
So instead of throwing money at a problem, we're actually expecting to see a result from that money that's going to do that problem.
And honestly, isn't that really what a donor wants to see?
I'm sure.
They want to know I'm making a difference. So for us, that goal of 10,000 families sounds, maybe it sounds trite and like a marketing idea, but it's really not. It's based on, we had some 40 conversations in our community saying, what do you want the United Way to be working on? How could we be a better United Way for this community? And 200 pages of notes later, when we compiled and saw what church groups and civic organizations and neighborhood associations and teachers and children, it was loud and clear to us that the cycle of generational poverty and the effect it has between the drug issues we have, sustainable wages, all of the things that contribute to it, is a focus area. What if we could lift people into better financial stability and try to slowly break that cycle? That's something we think donors want to invest in.
Now, this sounds a little bit like the same thing, only rephrased. I mean, we're going to just throw money at this.
So yes and no.
So what are you going to do besides throw money?
So here's different. Here's a real concrete difference. So for 60 years, United Way collects all these donor resources,
right,
and individual member agencies apply for it, for their program over in education, for their program that does a soup kitchen, whatever that program may be.
Okay.
The different structure, and what we've taken about a year and a half to come up with, is at this point, instead of taking our pool of resources and giving them to the member agencies, we are creating what we call impact councils. And there's a couple of impact councils associated with education, one focused on early childhood education, one focused on graduation success.
Okay.
There's a couple in health, one focused on substance use disorders, the drug issues we're faced, couple in financial stability. Councils are meant to bring expertise to the table. They're made up of folks who are on some of these agencies we've always funded. Mm-hmm. They're made up of business people. They're made up of folks with an expertise in early childhood education, administrator, teacher. Put 15 to 20 of them around the table and say, how can we get better at early childhood education? Where should United Way invest money? Now, instead of just taking applications for whatever program an agency runs, we're creating the outcome we want by saying we'll put out a proposal where we're going to improve kindergarten readiness by improving the number of high-quality childcares. Here's $100,000. Who would like to apply for the fund to move their childcare up a level in quality? So we're trying to drive the outcomes and measure them more. Our Substance Use Disorder Council wants to lower the arrest record related to substance use. Mm-hmm. That's a big goal. But we know that if we could lower it by 10% from the number of arrests that are drug-related today versus 5 years, 10% less, we'll start breaking that cycle of poverty. We'll start moving people to financial stability.
So part of the job of the United Way is not only just to try to accomplish these goals, but then you have to come back later and show where it pays off. You know, you have to give a little bit of credibility there that, yes, we got the payoff for the dollar we gave.
Yeah, what we like to talk about is we, for years, have had a transactional relationship. We'll raise money, we'll give money away. What we want to have is a more relational model. How about we convene really smart experts, passionate people on these subjects, and say, where does the funding need to go? So it's still all, to our core, it's still volunteer-driven. Mm-hmm. These are, you know, our Success by Six Council, which is early childhood education, our school administrators with various school corporations, our teachers, our involved parents, and they're deciding where the grant funding should go. This is what we call a collective impact approach. Our Substance Use Disorder Council has the city drug task force on it, has sheriff's departments sitting in. They know where investments are needed.
Right.
That's kind of new to United Way, to work with the government and with experts. This is really a better approach that donors can see, okay, if I invest in this initiative, I can see how I'm making a difference in the future.
Now, this is a change that's going on with United Way nationwide.
It really is. It's kind of a slow process. You've got a mighty big...
you got, what, 30, 40, 50 years of ingrained ways of doing things.
That's right.
And there's still a lot of those people that were there 40 years ago are still there.
You know, we're going to fight forever that concept of, oh, yeah, United Way came into my workplace and put a pledge card in front of me and made me give. And we have. And that's never a United Way preferred method.
And sometimes that was done with pressure from higher ups.
Oh, absolutely.
Without any real credence given to whether or not you guys were doing any good.
I always tell people, having been on the inside of United Way as both a volunteer and sitting on their board of directors for years and now working with them, I always say, when you experienced that, that had more to do with your workplace than it did United Way. But sadly, the actual entity that suffers from that reputation is a United Way who is out trying to do good things.
And up to this point, there wasn't a whole lot being done to necessarily stop that from going on as long as the money came in.
No, in fact, we advocate now that my worst nightmare is a workplace that wants to have 100% participation.
Yeah.
Because you know if that's happening, that there's probably pressure, because that's not realistic. People want to give where their heart is, and they should. And so our challenge as United Way, as I tell our board of directors and our staff, is, okay, if you really want people to give, create a product that is showing some great impact in our community, and people will want to give to that. In many ways across the country, United Way is focused on that United Way's business is impact. We're not different than a for-profit business. If we were selling toasters, we want to have the best toaster and people would want to buy it.
Right.
As a charitable entity, we want to have the best impact in our community to move those kind of numbers we talked about. We have to put the best product out there, and donors will want to invest in it.
Before we completely run out of time, we talked about earlier, it used to be here in this area, I'm sure the numbers were different depending upon where you're at in the country. We used to have the 33 agencies here.
Yeah.
So how many do we have now, and how do those agencies, how are they selected? How do they justify, and or is it just, who comes around once a year and actually fills out the form and says, we think we deserve this. Why? And here's why. How does that all work?
So that's how it used to work.
Yeah.
And as of the last year, we don't actually have member agencies. These new funding models will be open for any to apply to, the best and the brightest. We won't limit our funding just to 22 or 33, however many agencies we have.
Right.
We've worked with the longtime foundational agencies that we've worked with on what is basically a 3-year transition plan. where we're continuing to fund their existing original programs over that time, but asking them to start applying for these other available grants.
And they weren't caught by surprise all of a sudden.
No.
Pull the plug.
No, and in fact, we didn't even do it for about a year and a half before the first conversations with it. So they've had as much as 4 years to say, okay, this is going to be a new model, but there is still funding available, but we want them focused on that cycle of poverty through the grants we'll be offering, because that's what our donors want to see.
Okay.
So we still have many great agencies that are still being funded by us over the next couple of years, and we expect to have more as we grow both resources and impact in the community. It's a different approach.
Are you still having the once a year push to get people signed up, or is this just kind of an ongoing thing where you'd like to have people jump in at any time?
We do. Yeah. Over the next 3 years, we'll probably transition to, like many organizations, just kind of a year round fundraising effort. But we still do kind of in the fall that kind of push with workplaces to let them know. The beauty of that workplace relationship is that it allowed United Way to reach many different donors. Mm-hmm. But it has to be balanced in the right way, that it's still very what I would call donor-centric. We want to go in and give donors a choice for what they can do. If they like what they're seeing with United Way, we hope they'd invest. But by no means would we want any donor to feel they should just because they're at a workplace.
Richard Payonks with the Wabash Valley United Way. If folks want to find out more from you guys, I'm sure you got websites, Facebook, all that kind of stuff that's out there. How do they find out more about you?
We do. I direct you to one really simple place. Of course, our UWWV.org website tells all of the story of how we've transitioned, how we've changed. But if you really want to see and take a little interactive adventure through what United Way is all about, UWV.org/choose. is called our Choose Your Impact. And it's really about connecting you with what you're passionate about and seeing how the work United Way connects that. And if it's something you like, you may want to make an investment. And investment doesn't always mean money. Could mean time and volunteerism. It's all there on that site. I'd love folks to take a look.
And I'm getting the message that basically you really feel a responsibility to show that you're paying off for the people that give you money.
I think today's donor wants that. Be whether they give to United Way or any other charitable organization. I think that's why you're seeing upticks in things like GoFundMe pages and crowdfunding, is that donors are particular. They want to see the impact they're making, and I think United Way is a great option for it.
And you guys do demand accountability from those that receive funds from you.
Absolutely. Every entity that's received funding from United Way is reviewed in great detail to make sure those donor resources are going to good causes.
Richard Payonk with the Wabash Valley United Way. Again, the website is
UWWV.org.
Thanks a lot for being with us. If you missed any part of today's program, you want to go back and listen to it, find out a little bit more, just look for this on our podcast section of the website, and we'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.